Yeah, give it up for Max. Absolutely. Man, while you're here, super proud of you. I hope you guys heard what he shared. We don't come up here perfect. We don't come up here, he said, hey, I don't have it all together. I don't have it all together. We don't stand on a stage because we've got it together and you need to learn from us. We're learning. And we hope that you will learn with us as God's teaching us. And so what you got to hear was Max's heart. What you got to hear was him. He said, I'm preaching to myself. I'm worshiping to remind me and to remind all of us that God is good. And so, man, proud of you, buddy. Way to go. Thank you for modeling that for us. Man, today, too, I hope we're going to learn. I hope we're going to be challenged. I hope you'll hear what the Lord has been encouraging me in a lot of my life and what I want to present before you. But before we dive into that, we live in Texas, right? Yeah, we do. The great, good state of Texas, which means every May, April-ish, it's tornado season. Yeah, we had a tornado scare here a couple weeks ago. Two weeks ago, maybe a month, something. There was tornado warning. Who's ever been in a situation where the sirens are going off? You're trying to figure out with your family, what are we going to do? You've kind of been there. You've heard the sirens. You were at a soccer game in a tornado. That's when you can really bend it like Beckham. If you kick it right towards the tornado, it's like, whew. So anybody in here love tornadoes? Anybody kind of get excited about them? Okay, that's what I was like. I loved tornadoes. And so, well, I'll explain. Hold on. I'll explain. I think they're kind of exciting. They're this like unknown, powerful thing that's like, whoa, what's out there? And so let me tell you a story. When I was in college, I was in college at Baylor in Waco, Texas, and we had a huge tornado watch or warning. I don't remember which one it is, but the tornado was in Central Texas. The weatherman, men, women, whoever they were like, hey, it's coming, which they're always wrong. And so they get paid to lie to everyone. But they said, it's coming. So everybody in Waco is glued to the TV. And I was at some friend's house, and we're watching. We're on our phones, checking the radar, watching the TV. The power goes out. And so what do? When a tornado's right there, what do they tell you to do? Yeah. You go and you get in a basement. A lot of people in Texas have them. If you don't have a basement, you go get in a like bathtub or in a closet. You go somewhere where you're going to be safe, right? What do they tell you more than anything in a tornado? Get away from the
windows.
The windows. So where do you think the first place I went?
The
to the windows. And so I'm like, this tornado's coming. I want to check it out. And so I'm the idiot that's going, come on, tornado. That's why I said I love tornadoes. So I'm not just at the window. I've got the door open. I am out in the driveway, and I'm like, where is this thing? This is amazing. There's lightning everywhere. The tornado's coming. Eventually, I came to my senses. My friends were like, when the power goes out, they were like, hey, let's go in here. We got in a closet. We had mattresses that are hanging over us. We finally sought cover and shelter and protection to go and safely weather the storm and not just look out what would be exciting and awesome thinking that I'm invincible. So last weekend, again, saying that I love tornadoes. Last weekend, I had a close encounter with a tornado. I wasn't here. I was speaking at a camp in Texas called Pine Cove. And just a few minutes down the road, a tornado ripped through a little town called Canton. And we knew that there was some activity around, but we didn't know the extent of it until driving home. I got to see unfortunately, some of the damage of a tornado. And so this is some footage. This is a picture from Canton. Do we have that? This is actually near a Dodge dealership off of a highway, I-20. There was a Dodge, think of a dealership. Picture in your mind, new cars, they're all showing up there. Hey, you should buy this truck. It's amazing. Well, because of the tornado, that Dodge dealership doesn't exist. Not like, oh, a few cars are damaged. It was obliterated. The trucks were picked up. They were thrown across the highway, onto the highway, all over the place. That Dodge dealership isn't there. Here I was just looking out the window. What's going to happen? Tornadoes do unbelievable damage. And sometimes we think, well, it's not going to affect me. I mean, it's a big place. I know there's a warning. I know that it could come by my house, but what are the odds of it actually hitting my house? I want to see this thing. This is exciting. I wouldn't actually run to a tornado. Maybe. So that's in Canton. I want to show you some other damage of a tornado. Here's a look at just close up what can happen. And as my wife and I were driving home, it was like ripping trees. Like the roots just ripped out of the ground. It is an unbelievable force that does unbelievable damage. Here's another picture of the path a tornado takes. And so here you can see, even right next to each other, there are some homes that are just completely damaged. There's some that were touched a little bit, and okay, well, our roof, we just need to fix the roof, but we're okay. And some, it's like, man, oh my goodness. Like, look at this house in the middle. It's not even touched. And just behind it, it's absolutely obliterated. Why are we talking about tornadoes? Who cares? Because I think some of us, and let's stay on this picture, some of us, or all of us at some level, somewhere in our lives, we love the excitement of what's out the window. The excitement of maybe what's coming or what could be or something that we desire. There is an excitement that we think, oh, I want to see that. I want that. I want that to be my life or to be a part of my life. And we think that that is going to be, if we see it, if we have it, it's going to be fulfilling. Not realizing that that temptation to look that way is leading us into a horrific tornado of what could be sin. A tornado of, there is an enemy. A tornado in this analogy is the enemy seeking to kill you and destroy you. And he lures us in through different temptations, different real desires that we have, different things that we think are going to fulfill us and give us life and give us excitement, that we begin to look out the window, even amidst the warnings in Scripture, from my family, from our friends, to go, hey, come back. Come find safety. Come find life here. Come gather with us. We go, no. I think I like what's out the window. And guys, I think some in your life, you're obliterated. You're in the middle of sin. You're in the middle of just hurt. And your home is a little like Max, where you're just going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't feel like I have a place right now. I need help. Or maybe in the midst of that obliteration, you're like, well, I still got a rain jacket. I can survive. Let us help you. Some of you, you're sitting there and you're going, man, that tornado passed me by. And you're not going around, you're going, oh my gosh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for keeping me safe. You're hiding what it is that you're moving to the window and just thinking that you're going to get away with it. Or maybe you're the next neighborhood over where no one's touched, you've never had in this part of your life, and you think that you can still go to the window and find life and desire and excitement in these things. But I want to tell you guys, I want to remind you, there is an enemy seeking to kill and destroy you. And in this tornado analogy, life is not found in going to seek the enemy and the things that he starts to throw our way and the excitement that he tempts us with, the life that he tempts us with. Life is found back in the home, in the safety and security of Jesus Christ. In the safety of the truth that God tells us in his word, that God promises us of who he is. He is that stronghold, that basement, that when those storms come, you know, you get to a bathtub or a basement because everything could be ripped away, but that will stand firm in the foundation. Jesus is that. And I want to remind you to cling to him for life, because storms are coming. They're here or they're just down the road. And so this morning, we're just going to look at how we can look for life in Christ and remind each other that life is not found looking out the window. We're going to go to a chapter in Scripture that has been incredibly influential in my life. It's a story, and I want to tell you that story. I don't have all the Scripture on the screen, so if you've got your Bible, open up to Proverbs 7. If you got your phone, flip it open to Proverbs 7. I want you to see this. I want you to see what this Scripture talks about, because I think it speaks directly to you, to guys and girls in junior high, to young men and women, who I hope you are seeking to grow as God's man and God's woman, or seeking to understand who God is and how he loves you. But in the midst of that, all of us are tempted to seek our own pleasure, our own desire, our own things that we think are going to give us life. But all it will do is just leave a disaster of destruction. Maybe not yet, but it's coming. So we're going to start here in Proverbs 7. Start in verse 6, right at the analogy that we're talking about. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice. I have seen among the simple. I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense. Okay, let me make some sense of this. So this was written thousands of years ago. Okay, back then they didn't have windows. All right, glass was not fully invented there, where they're just having panes of windows. They're not in these amazing mansions that some of you live in. So they've got these kind of clay huts, sometimes brick structures, and most of them, a lot of them, are two stories, because that's how you would have security. You'd have animals that would live below, people would live up top, and so to see outside, there would be lattice. Something like this. It would probably be smaller, not full length like that, but it'd be a little piece of woodwork or straw strung together so that you could see through, but there was still protection. So what we see is some man looking down. Now, who wrote the book of Proverbs? Do you know? Some people are saying it. Shout it out louder in the back. Solomon. Solomon, they think, wrote a lot of these Proverbs. Who was Solomon? Shout it out. The wisest man in the world. Now, Solomon, if you know much about Solomon, Solomon was granted with wisdom, and then God blessed him with amazing riches. And then Solomon, if you finish the story, wasted it. And he pursued those riches, and he pursued those pleasures, and he pursued it. He had anything and everything he wanted, and he found life in that and not the Lord. And this is old man Solomon, I think. I can't prove this, but what I think is old man Solomon is looking to his young self and saying, hey, if I could write a letter to my 6th, 7th, 8th grade junior high self, this is what I would remind me of. So he's saying, here, I'm at the window. I'm looking through, and I perceive this young man. I think this is Solomon. I think this is me, and I think if we're not careful, this could be us. So here he is. He peers through the lattice. And he looks out, and he sees this young man. So here's what I want you to know first, is that it starts in the mind. It starts with the looking. And I'm going to throw a slide up here so you're going to understand the progression. We're talking about when temptation hits us, how we then respond to that temptation, whether we give into it, whether we respond and jump into sin, or whether we flee from it and move towards the Lord. And so what happens is it starts in the mind. It then moves to the heart, which affects our appearance and leads us to participation. I'll leave that up there for a second so that you can understand that. Maybe you're taking notes. You want to take a picture of it. That's important because it's going to take us through the rest of the morning. It starts in the mind, which then moves to the heart, which then affects our appearance, how we carry ourselves, which then leads us to participate in that sin. So here we have a guy who's sitting in his house, and he's just minding his own business. He's, you know, maybe he's folding laundry because he's got stuff to do. He's hanging. Maybe he's eating a bowl of cereal. Because they did that. They had tricks back then or some Fruit Loops or something. But so this guy's just up in his house. You know that feeling when you're in your house and you just kind of get stir crazy? Maybe you're studying. Maybe you're on a weekend and no one's hanging out and you're just stuck in your house and you're like, man, I want to get out. Anybody felt that way? And so you know, maybe now you can open your phone. Back then they didn't have phones. And so you start to just go, man, I wonder what's out there. Start to look through the lattice. When where you are and what you have isn't good enough, when the stuff that is surrounded you, when the video games don't cut it, when your family relationships don't do it, in this analogy, we're like, oh, I want to go have fun. But what if it's your soul? What if who God created you isn't enough? What if who God died for you isn't enough and redeemed you to be? All of us at some point in our lives kind of go, you know what, God, I don't know. I know that, you know, there's supposed to be life in Christ. I know that I've got everything in you that I need, but I wonder what's out there. I wonder what maybe I could find to give life. And so in our soul, instead of believing that we have all we have in Christ in the home that he's prepared for us, that he has come and dwelt in our soul to redeem us and to give us all we need, there comes a point that starts at the thought level where all of us begin to look out and go, I wonder what's there. And we peer through the lattice. So I want to ask you a question this morning. And I want you to think through this as we quickly move through the rest of this. This morning, currently in your life, where are you peering through the lattice, looking for life outside of the fullness you have in Christ? I'm going to put that on screen, and I want you to think about it. Where are you peering through the lattice, looking for life outside of the fullness of life that you have in Christ? Jesus came to die for you. Not so that you could be a better person. Not so that you could just be in church on Sundays. Not even so that you could just go to heaven. Although heaven is an amazing thing and we get to be with him forever, we get to be with God now. We get to be fully satisfied in relationship with the creator of the universe, with the God who's crazy about us. And most of us just go, nah, what else is out there? Because all of us feel lonely. We feel differently. Maybe we feel lonely. We feel insecure. Let me define insecurity. Insecurity is not believing that who God says you are is good enough. Insecure means I'm not secure. I'm not confident. Who God made me isn't good enough. And you begin to doubt who you are, believe what others say about you, and then you either look to escape from that feeling or find fulfillment in something else, which all leads us away from Jesus if we're not careful and into sin. So where are you looking through the lattice and finding life in something other than Jesus? Maybe it's grades. Maybe it's just having all A's. Maybe it's not just grades for yourself, but you're just trying to please your parents. You could care less about what they are, but you know that they care so much that you're just pouring out your heart and pouring out your soul into your studies, all so that you can feel accepted by them. Maybe it's wanting a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe that's where you just think, if I have that, then I'll have everything. Maybe it's wanting to please this relationship that you're in now that you call boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe it's being the top athlete or the best on your team. Maybe it's just even making the team. You're like, I don't care if I'm the best, but I'm tired of getting cut. And you think that you'll be fulfilled, that life will be good, that you'll have everything that you need. And so you start to look out and you just go, man, if I got that jersey. Not, man, I've got everything I need in Christ. I'd love to play ball. It'd be fun. But if I can't, that's fine. God's got something better for me. No, we think that life is in that. Maybe it's being popular. Maybe it's not even being popular, but just having a friend. Look, I don't need to be the top of the social structure at school. I just want somebody to notice me. I want somebody to care when I'm not there. I want somebody to care for me when I'm hurting. So maybe you're like, look, I'm not the guy that's like, I'm not the girl that's pushing away Jesus because I think that I'm sinful and I need to please people. But guys, that's just as much looking for fulfillment in someone. Is friendship a bad thing? No. You should seek friendship. That's a God-given thing that he made us to dwell in community. But when we seek to find life in these things, then we're giving up the very thing that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe it's just being in the know. You're the one that people come to for information. You just want to know what's out there. You're a gossiper. Oh, no, I'm not a gossiper. I just know things about people. Well, that's called gossip. And you share that around. And maybe you think that if you've got just enough dirt on people, people won't know the dirt in your own life. And you find life in that. Maybe it's just acceptance. Like we talked about earlier, some people just liking who you are, regardless of the cost to you or to people you love around you. Maybe it's your body image. When you look in the mirror, and you go, man, if I just looked like this, if I just lost this weight, if I just didn't have this feature, maybe you're looking for your own fulfillment in yourself and thinking that if you work out enough or eat certain things enough or if you just do these things, then maybe you'll like yourself, all the while missing what the God of the universe sees you as a son and a daughter redeemed because of Jesus Christ. And we look through the lattice. Maybe it's materialism. Having the right stuff to define you, the newest phone, the best fidget spinner. I mean, man, you got to get those bearings that'll just go for days. Like, check this out. Shoes, clothing, status, money. Eventually, it'll be cars. It'll be jobs when you grow up. Or maybe you're physically looking to find fulfillment in your own satisfaction of a desire. Maybe you're looking on the internet. You're looking at porn. Maybe you walk through the halls and you're justifying, well, I'm not going and looking at stuff on my phone or looking at stuff on the computer, but you, guy or girl, you walk through the halls and you just feast on flesh. You feast on the desires of your flesh and begin to think things about people. And it leads you to shame, and it leads you to then further wanting and longing. All of it starts with this longing and looking for excitement. What's out there? All of those are temptations from the enemy. So I want you to know something about temptation. Temptation is from the enemy. Temptation is this longing or desire that Satan and his minions and his demons and this army that is out to seek and kill you, to make you feel shame, to make you feel worthless, to make you hate yourself and not believe in the goodness of God and who God is. Temptation is from the enemy. How we deal with that temptation is up to us. We can't control when a temptation comes into our mind. That temptation is because the enemy is trying to throw you off. What you then get to do is to decide, am I going to give in to that? Or am I going to flee from that? You've heard the verse, flee from sexual immorality. Sometimes we think, I know I did, because that was a big struggle for me, was sexual sin, specifically in the area of pornography. And I just thought, okay, well, I got to flee that. But these other things, that's not as bad. I just want to be accepted. I just want these things. Those are just as much sin, guys, if we're finding life in that. Temptations from the enemy, how we deal with that temptation is up to us. And here's something that took me a long time to figure out. Giving into temptation is a choice. We're in this series of choices. Last week, we talked about contentment. And it's so easy to look around and just compare to everything and everyone around us. But what God gives us is the ability to be at peace and content because of who he is and because of his spirit in us. The same is true. We are set free from sin. That does not mean that you're never going to sin again. That does not mean that you're never going to be tempted again. You will be tempted every single day in 100 different ways. And giving into that is a choice. Fleeing from that is also a choice that you have because of the power of God. You are not defined by sin anymore. For a long time, a lot of you guys know my story. I wrestled with pornography and I kept just going, Lord, why won't you take this from me? Why won't this go away? And I was not choosing to flee. I was not choosing to fight. I was not choosing to bring others around me and go, you guys got to help me. Yes, Jesus paid for it. He set me free from that. He set you free from whatever it is that's putting you in bondage or that you're seeking to find life in. He set you free so that you don't have to be enslaved to that. And guys, when we choose to give in to temptation, I know it's hard. I live in the midst of it every day just like you do. We can choose temptation or we can choose Jesus. We can choose life. All right, I'm going to speed through some of the rest of this passage so that you'll see what happens. It starts through the looking. And guys, right now I think all of us in some capacity are peering through the lattice, looking to find life in something other than Jesus. We're looking and going, all right, God, what's out there? And I'm just going to read the rest of this passage. And I'll sum it up at the end. But what you see is a young man who goes, man, I wonder what's there, and then pursues it and goes all the way in, ignoring the warning signs. And his life is destroyed. So if you've got your Bible, open it up again. I'm just going to read it. If you don't, listen, stick with me. I'm going to start again in verse 6. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice. I have seen among the simple. I've perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense. Passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him. Dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart, she is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him. With bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I've come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly. I have found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him, and at full moon, he'll come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. He is destroyed. Solomon sums it up and says, and now, sons, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Long passage. But what I want you to see is that the longing of this man, looking out to find life in something else, then leads to him looking for where that life can be found, which then leads him to lingering around and playing with a little bit, which then leads to him living in it, participating in it, which then leads him to losing his life. Andrew, can you throw that slide up there? Go down about the longing to looking, to lingering, to living in it. They might find it. But guys, it all starts in the mind. Longing leads him to looking, which then leads him to lingering, which leads him to living in it. And guys, all of that can be avoided at any step along the way if you just choose Jesus. Oh, that's just the Jesus, that's just the Bible churchy Christian answer. Well, it is the Bible answer because that is the truth. You have been set free from sin and death, not just for eternity, but for today. You don't have to find life in anything else. You can believe that God is who he says he is, that what God says of you is true, and you can walk in it. And you can live in that truth instead of living in the destruction that will come. So guys, I just want to beg you, don't choose to look out the window because you think as a 6th, 7th, 8th grader, you're just invincible. And that tornado of destruction is going to pass you by because it has for so many times already. And you know what? It might continue to pass you by. But every once in a while, it's going to throw debris your way that's going to knock you off, or it may even just rip your house apart. I want to call you to cling to life in Christ, not just for behavior modification, not so that you're just better people and better Christians, but so that you get to abide with Jesus and walk in freedom with him. There's a song that we're going to close with that speaks to this. It's called The Simple Pursuit. And it's a song we've sung. It's a song that you've probably heard. But it's a song that I hope reminds us of, it's not just all of these things that we have to, okay, I got to memorize scripture, I got to read my Bible, I got to go to church, and I got to confess sin, and I got to live in community, and I got to do these things, and I got to go to church on Sunday and then church on Wednesday. We think that we have to do Christianity. All we have to do is pursue Jesus and choose to forsake pursuing these things that we think are going to give us life. The simple pursuit of Jesus gives you life. And so to close this morning, just as Max shared this morning, hey, I'm singing these songs to remind me of who I am in Christ and how I need to love him. We're going to sing this together to remind ourselves and each other to simply pursue Jesus because of what he did for us and choose to be content in who he is and who we are in him and choose to flee temptation and to run to life in him. So we're going to put the words on the screen. I'm going to play it because I need this for me. Guys, there are so many places where it's not just when I was in junior high, I pursued life and other things. Your leaders will say the same thing to you this week. There are ways that we just don't trust God. And we think that life is found in our job, in our relationships, in our friendships, in our having a boyfriend or a girlfriend, being married, having kids, whatever it is. Guys, life is in Jesus. And some of us are still trying to figure that out. I'm still trying to figure that out. And I need you to sing to remind me that it's all about simply pursuing Jesus, about loving him and to live in that freedom. So will y'all sing this with me?
God, take us back, the place we began, the simple pursuit of nothing but you, the innocence of my heart in your hand. not take us back. God, take us back to an unswerving faith in the power of your name. A heart beating for your kingdom to reign. A church that is known for your presence again. God, take us back. Nothing and no one comes close to you. Nothing could ever come close. Nothing and no one is you and you only. Nothing could ever come close. Keep our hearts real. Keep our grace close. You're bringing us back. You're bringing us home. Unswerving faith in the power of your name. A heart beating for your kingdom to reign. A church that is known for your presence again.
Think of it, what it is that you're pursuing, what it is that you're running to for life. You really believe that that's not going to give life. You've seen it not satisfied. If you haven't yet, you will. It's only Jesus. I hope that you trust us. I hope that you trust God. You may have to go through some hard things before you realize that that's true. I know it to be true, and I still wrestle with it every day. I want you guys to sing this. We're going to sing it twice through. I want you to sing it as a prayer to the Lord, believing that nothing, not money, not a relationship, not stuff, nothing comes close to Jesus. Sing it as a prayer. Here we go.
Nothing and no one comes close to you. Nothing could ever come close. Nothing and no one is you and you only. Nothing could ever come close.
Sing it again, shout it out.
Nothing and no one comes close to you. Nothing could ever come close. Nothing. And you owe me. Nothing could ever come close.
God, that's our prayer. Lord, will you help us believe? Will you help our unbelief? Will you help us to stop looking through
outside of what we have in you, even looking to what others have, even to the good things that you've given them, or looking through the lens of our Instagram feed and thinking that people are experiencing more of life. Lord, will you just help us to experience more of life in you, which comes from just trusting that you are who you say you are, that you are good, that you love us, and it is just simply pursuing you and nothing else for life, for fulfillment, for satisfaction. Lord, will you help us be honest with ourselves and those around us, what it is that we're running to, and will you help us to flee that temptation, to get away from the window, and to cling to life in you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who gives us life. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. We'll see you later. Have an awesome day. All right.